Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn to James chapter 1 tonight. James chapter 1. You there? All right. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And also Hebrews 11 and 6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. We ask you to grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Holy Spirit, we say we lean upon you tonight. Father, we just thank you, God, right now for your touch. Move upon your people in Jesus' name. We give you thanks and praise. And everybody said amen. 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 Hebrews 11 and 6, for without faith, somebody say, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Aren't you glad that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith? Without faith. Without faith. Somebody say, I have faith. I have faith. I have faith because my God gave it to me. Say, I can increase it, I can decrease it, I can add to it, I can have great faith, exceeding great faith, or no faith. Faith. What kind of faith do you want tonight? I want faith that moves mountains. I want faith that I can get to happen what I want to see happen right now. Right now. Without faith, without faith, without faith. So tonight, still talking about faith, but we're going to look at what James is speaking about here and kind of go in a little bit of depth, you know, in it, and just look at a few key words that he gives here. Romans 10 and 17, that's a good verse tonight. We'll just throw a few of these out there at you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody say, faith comes by hearing. So that means you got to feed it. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to feed it. You got to feed it. You can't take for granted that, you know, that when you get involved in something, you believe in God for something that's just going to happen. Your faith has got to be ready. I said, your faith has to be ready. Your faith has to be ready. Faith is the victory. Somebody say, faith is the victory. So feeding your faith. Somebody say, I want to feed my faith on the word of God. And then James begins to talk about exercising your faith. How many like to exercise? Okay, we're going to see how much you like to exercise. James chapter 1. Brethren, count it all joy. Not if. But when? Everybody say, not if, but when. So James is telling you tonight, whether you like it or not, you're getting ready to go into something that's going to cause your faith to be stretched, to put it to work. Go find out whether you got it or not. I've met a lot of people down through the years that say they have faith, and when it comes to trials, it just the wind just blows them away. I guess they forgot about it. Didn't know they had it or whatever. So it's not if, but when. Everybody say when. When. You fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. So we're going to look at this word joy right here, kara, in the Greek. It means cheerfulness. Everybody say cheerfulness. So he says count it cheer when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all cheerfulness. But when you break it down, it means calm delight. Calm delight. You need to write this stuff down tonight, okay? Count it a calm delight when you fall into divers temptations. So what you want faith to do is to bring you into a place of calm delight. Everybody say calm delight. It means to be unmoved. It means to be peaceful. It means to be unbothered. It means to be unruffled. It means to have self-control, which is, by the way, a fruit of the Spirit. So he's telling you that if you fall into divers temptations, the way that you're going to know that you have faith working in your life is that if you have this fruit right here. Amen. Count it all joy. Count it all joy, a calm delight. I thought about that scripture, you know, God gives us, you know, those that delight themselves in the Lord, he gives them the desires of their heart. Amen. So that means that you don't fall apart when the storms come. Amen. Say, I'm not going to fall apart. Count it all joy, a calm delight. Have calm delight when troubles come. When you fall into. This word fall into is the word parapipto. And it means to fall into something that is all around. To fall into something that is all around. Whether you understand it or not tonight with what's going on in the world, you're falling into that. You didn't ask for it. It's just going to happen. Who would have ever thought that we would see in America the stuff that we're seeing in our cities right now? It is disgusting. Who would have ever thought that we would be experiencing the leadership that we have in lots of our Congress and Senate and governors and lieutenant governors and mayors and teachers and so forth. So this is one of the things that he's talking about. He said when you fall into, when you are compassed about, surrounded by. And so we're surrounded every day by this stuff. Amen. Surrounded by it, falling into. Somebody say falling among. Falling among, falling into. So when you fall into divers temptations or the various kinds of temptations he's speaking about here. And so one of the best illustrations that I could probably get in the scriptures in 2 Kings chapter number 8. Chapter number 6, starting with verse number 8. You remember the story that Elisha is there and he and his servant and Israel and Syria are having problems, and Syria comes and surrounds Elisha and his servant with the armies that they're compassed about. This is one of the things that he's talking about. And so when his servant gets up in the morning, what happens to him? He gets up and he walks outside, and what does he see? He sees the mountains filled with horses and chariots of the enemy there. And he panics. Somebody say he panics. He gets in panic mode. He goes running back inside and he says, Elisha, man, you need to come out here and look at this. He said, man, what are we going to do? And that's what happens lots of times with us when we fall into or get surrounded by things happen, come our way, we didn't ask for. Let's just say the economy went bust tomorrow, that you went and you couldn't get your money out of the bank, and you know that the grocery stores were cleaned out within a week, and then you know you were wondering, what are our leaders going to do? How are they going to fix this problem? We need some faith in God. Look at somebody and say, that could happen. It could happen. Amen. And so this is what he's talking about. When you're compassed about, when you get surrounded by this kind of stuff. So the servant comes out, gets the prophet. He says, man, what are we going to do? And what does the prophet do? He says, what's he do? Well, number one, I recognize that he is a person of calm delight. He's unbothered. He's unruffled. He has self-control. He is peaceful. And he is unmoved. He gets up and goes, Lord, open his eyes. This man is about to drive me crazy of all his fear that he's got going on. Would you open his eyes and let him see what I see? See, because faith looks at what? The unseen. Huh? It looks at the unseen. And so Elisha is able to see into the unseen. But see, the reason I'm telling you this tonight is because we don't want, when we get thrown into this or when we fall into it, we already want to be in calm delight. Huh? I want some of that stuff going on in me right now. It's like people ask, and say, what would you do? What would you do? I said, same thing I've always done. Depend on Jesus. Look to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Lord, open his eyes. And so what was Elisha seeing that his servant was not seeing? His servant can only see the enemy. Some people can only see what the Democrats and Republicans are doing. Some people can only see what China's doing, what Russia's doing, what's going on in the world. Some people, that's all they can see, mainly because that's all they feed themselves on. But somewhere, you're going to start feeding your faith. I said, you're going to have to start feeding your faith. What do you feed your faith with? The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing CNN, Fox. Huh? Flashpoint. No. Somebody say the Word. The Word. I want a calm delight. Hallelujah. I want my trust to be in Jesus. I want my trust to be in my Father in heaven. He's my Father. He promised me that he would take care of me. He gave me Psalm 91 that I could rest in. Told me that the angels would take care of me. Told me that I didn't have to worry about the stuff that's happening at nighttime, the stuff that goes on in the daytime, and didn't have to worry about all the things that the enemy was cooking up. He said, because all you got to do is put your trust in me. Somebody say, trust me. Trust me. So he says, count it all joy. If I'm going to fall into this, and I'm already in it, we're all in it right now. We're surrounded by a lot of stuff. I said, we're surrounded by a lot of stuff. We're surrounded by a lot of stuff. You got to get this now because this is important. Because when Elisha's servant gets up and he sees what most people see, he sees the natural circumstances and he panics. God in heaven, help the church. Most people in church panic. They would. If a bomb went off or something like that, they would all panic. They'd freak out. A lot of people have heart attacks and die. They wouldn't know what to do because they've never trusted God. Amen? And so all he could see was the natural, but Elisha saw the unseen. What did he see? He saw what his delight was in, where his trust was at, where his faith rested. Man, I love this guy. You know, he's always in the prophet chambers. He's kicked back in a chair and just taking it easy. Anytime he wants something to happen, he sends his servant out to do it. Go check on this stuff. We know people are freaking out. We know this crazy stuff is happening. Go out there and check it out. Come back and let me know what it's like. But he says, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Let him see. Somebody say, God, open my eyes. And what did he see? He saw the mountains and the hills full of horses and chariots of fire around the Syrian army. And the amazing thing about it is that when the army came down, you know, he took them captive by just speaking a blindness upon them. Took them down to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel wanted to kill them all. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. He said, but feed them real good and give them a blessing to take back. And when they took it back, the Bible said that the Syrians didn't mess with them anymore. Somebody say, my God is bigger. And I always like to say this, say, give up, devil. You're surrounded. Not me. I'm not surrounded. You're the one that's surrounded. You want me to see in the natural and think that I'm surrounded, but I'm going to look to the Spirit and say, no, you're the one that's surrounded. Amen. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the way God works. Somebody say, that's the way God works. Amen. Say, my enemy is surrounded. Surrounded. So James is telling us, he said, any time that you count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Be cheerful about it. How am I going to be cheerful? See, this is the big question. How am I going to have a calm delight? Because I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know before my enemy ever tries to strike out against me that I have an armor on that he can't pierce. My job is not to run, but to move forward. My job is to stand. And so James is telling us, he says, count it all joy. Be of cheerful delight. Be a person that is unmoved. Have so much peace in your life that it doesn't bother you. Say, shut up, devil. Everybody do this. Say, shut up, devil. Say, I ain't got time for that. Ain't got time for that. I'm unbothered by it. Well, I'm unbothered by what has been. I'm unruffled. Because I know a lot of people that get mad at God in this stuff. When they start going into some of these things and they get surrounded by finances and they get surrounded by a sickness or disease. They get surrounded by just normal everyday life and they fall apart. They're cussing God, cussing people. Hello? Somebody say it's true. It's true. You're not supposed to be that way. Christians are not supposed to be that way. You're supposed to have your act together. Amen. Look at somebody and say, have you got your act together? Need to have your act together. Self-control. Isn't that one of the fruit of the Spirit? Self-control. Anger's not to control me. Fear is not supposed to control me. Lust is not supposed to control me. Those things are not supposed to control me. Anger is not, and rage are not supposed to control me. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Somebody say, divers temptations. Parasmos. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Some of those words are similar. I have to think for a few minutes. Putting to proof. Say you got faith? Let's see. I want to see if you got some faith. Your Heavenly Father loves you enough that he's going to let your faith be tested. Why? Because he wants you to have that calm delight. He wants you to be able to say, Lord, open their eyes and let them see what I see. Mm-hmm. Lord, you let them experience what I'm experiencing right now. They ain't got to be in a panic mode. Somebody say, amen. 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 You know, I thought about this when Jesus was on the boat. You remember the story? You know, when they're in the storm, somebody say, in the storm. Those disciples are, and they're out there, and they're panicking, and finally Jesus, they wake him up, and he gets up, and he comes, but you know what state Jesus is in, don't you? He's in calm delight. Why is he in calm delight? Because he trusts his Father. His Father told him to go to the other side. He had told his disciples, he said, we're going to the other side. Jesus said, we're going to heaven. I hadn't got to stop by the sideshow of the devil and just listen to see all the freak shows that he's putting on. I hadn't got to say, oh my God, what are we going to do? See, those things are sent to hinder your faith from believing God for revival like you've never seen before. Because the devil's trying to paint you a picture other than God's picture. Faith sees the unseen. Somebody say, God's always ahead of the devil. Said his word runs very swiftly. He's always outmaneuvering the enemy. And so what does Jesus do? He's on board the ship. He gets up, and the Bible says that he rebukes the winds and the waves, and immediately there's a great calm. Is that what the scripture says? There's a great calm. The sea lays down. But see what's happening. Now, I want you to get this because this is important. Jesus has such a calm delight. He's just not moved by any of that stuff because he's at total peace and rest. Do you understand that when he spoke that went out of him? Hold your hands on yourself and say, I got it in me too. I've got it in me too. That's what parked that Thunderbird on the side of the road that night. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That peace went out of him that he had. And it grabbed hold of that storm and went bam. He just simply spoke the word that was in him. Somebody say, that's faith. That's faith. 100% God, 100% man, the God man, Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. How did he do it? By faith. How did he do it? By faith, because he wants us to be able to do the same thing. I was listening to the testimony of somebody the other day, and they said that the storm came and said it was a tornado, and said that they just stayed in their house and said they were pleading the blood and pleading the blood and pleading the blood, and said when it was all over, their house is the only one standing. Sound like somebody had some calm delight. Sound like somebody was unmoved, unbothered by what the enemy was trying to do. Somebody say amen. Say those tornadoes have got horns on them. Upside down horn. Somebody say upside down horn. And so Jesus, you know, it's characteristic. You know, you look at him, he's operating like James tells us. He said, count it all joy. Be a person of calm delight. Don't fly off the handle. Don't be unmoved. Why you let things control you? Why? You can't. Because number one, after you flip your wig and after you have your spell and do your little thing and stomp the floor and cuss and carry on, you know what? Then you're going to have to deal with your guilt and shame. And you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to get it right. Somebody say amen. And then you're going to say, I wish I hadn't done that. Come on. How many's ever done that? Yeah. 100%. But see, Jesus is saying, this is the amazing thing at the end of this story. And they said, you know, everybody's amazed. They're looking at Jesus and they say, what kind of man is this? The winds and waves, obey him and see all these things. He said, obey him. And what does Jesus said? Where's your faith at? Why are you fear-filled? Why are you moved? Why are you not calm? My father is your father. My God is your God. This is what Jesus is telling them. He said, you haven't got to worry about it. You're panicking, belling of water. Just get back here like I am and enjoy the ride. The Holy Ghost will blow the water out of this thing. They were freaked out and sinking because they were using fleshly means to try to get to the other side. They weren't using the word. They weren't using faith because Jesus said, why are you paralyzed by fear? Amen. Why are you so fear-filled? Somebody said, be calm. Just be calm. Be calm. This is some good stuff, man. Be calm. Be calm. Amen. It's just like anything in life. What if somebody did key your car? You throw your spit. You probably would. But you know, if you throw your fit and spit, it's still not going to do any good. Amen. Well, praise God, it made me feel better. It's because you're carnal. You're just a hunk of flesh and you're carnal. And you let the devil have his way. And you got to learn to have some calm in your life. You got to learn to be at peace. Amen. The devil's not going to have a heart attack. You are. The devil's not going to have a stroke. You will. You're bleeding out. And see, he says, don't be moved. Be calm. Be collected. Be cool-headed. This is what it says. It's telling us in the Greek. He said, be this way. Somebody say, be this way. Be this way. Count it all joy when you fall into various kinds of temptation. When you're surrounded by all this stuff that's going on. And my God, they were surrounded by the storm. See, storms are coming. Storms are here. We've been through storms. We've faced storms. More storms are coming. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The next virus that comes, we're going to know how to handle it. We knew how to handle the last one. I'm going to get out of that panic mode and quit listening to the government. They're not God. Fauci wasn't God. He was a rat. A demon-possessed rat. And the WHO. The who? Not the band. That's right. I think that W stands for wacky. But know how to handle these things when they come. Did you know that when you break down and you lose your cool and you get angry and you get full of fear, did you know that you're attracting sickness to yourself? Mental breakdown? You're changing everything. Your cellular structure inside. God didn't make you. You can't live like that. And so God says, just be at peace. I know the peacemaker. I call him by name. Man, I don't know about you, but I know him. Somebody say, I know him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, he's a good God. He's a good God. I remember when I was, you know, it came out of heart surgery. I had a piece of God on me. I knew I was going to be all right. And they did that bypass, and they went in there where they just break the bone, cut your sternum open, jack you open, take your heart out and lay it on your chest. Sounds awful, doesn't it? It is. But my worst experience was not that. It was that nurse from hell I had when I came out for recovery. I said, dear God, deliver me from this. Amen. But you learn some things, you know, when you face death. It's like the gladiator said, what do you do? He said, a man told him, said, you know, when death looks at you, what do you do? He said, you smile back. I said, you ain't killing me till my God wants me out of here. And when I'm leaving, I'm gone. Uh-huh. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, hallelujah. 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 So listen to what James is saying. He said, count it all joy when you fall into, when you're surrounded by all this stuff, when it comes against your life. Could be in your marriage, your finances, your kids. I mean, just 10,000 different things that happen on a daily basis in the world in which we live, in churches. I think about those congregations that we were talking about, you know, where they murder entire congregations. It's happening in Africa right now. Think about that. They need some calm delight. And I have a feeling that they probably got it. It's horrid. It's horrid, the things that are happening. How would America respond to something like that? Wow. And so James doesn't stop there. He said, count it all joy when you're surrounded by all of this stuff. Say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this. Somebody do like this, say, knowing this. Look at your neighbor and say, knowing this. Faith works patience. Faith works patience. Faith works patience. Everybody say patience. Steadfastness. Mm-hmm. Listen to this Greek definition. It is the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and loyalty to faith, even in the greatest of trials. Wow. Say, bring it on, devil. Bring it on. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Somebody say, man, Paul had that attitude. That's the attitude I want to have. You kill me, I'm absent from the body. To be absent from the body is to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a bad deal. Somebody say it's not a bad deal. We fall all to pieces because death shows up. Right, go ahead and show up. But you can't go unless God's through with you. Somebody say amen. I think about Brother Hughes running around that track and flopping over dead, and he's out there shocked him back. He said, it's just amazing. You think about how the devil tries to kill people. He's running around the track and the devil tried to kill him, and two nurses were in there and it was a defibrillator and they got him and shocked him back. I bet the devil's going, God, I can't ever kill anybody I want to kill. That's because we Christians that have faith and patience know that all things are working to our good. Right. Now I got a double testimony. I've looked at death and death looked at me and I just smile back at death. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I'm surrounded, my enemy's surrounded. Uh-huh. I'm saying, devil, what are you trying to do? Let me ask you a question tonight. What is the first thing that Satan tries to do when he comes at you? Put fear on you. Fear is the opposite from faith. Anytime that fear is sniffing around your door, you ought to rear back and exercise your faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. The characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose. And loyalty to faith even in the greatest of trials. Somebody says, is this all you got? I'm like, Rocky. Yo. He said, how many you see? Meek said, how many you see? How many you see? I see three. He said, I see three. He said, hit the one in the middle. Remember, we're roly-polies. We just, you can't knock us down. We just keep bouncing back up. Okay, but listen to what he says now. He says, count it all joy when you're surrounded by all this stuff and when it's coming at you from every direction. Knowing this, that your faith is working patience. It's a quality that does not surrender under trial. Somebody say, it does not surrender. It does not surrender. Matter of fact, when faith gets attacked, faith gets stronger. Faith's ever going, I'm working out. Somebody say, I'm working it out. I'm working it out. Praise God. Pumping some faith iron. Getting more word. Praise God. I'm going to say, where is that promise? Where is that? I know there's one in here somewhere. Praise God. All you got to have is one. Somebody say, all you got to have is one. And you can put your entire life on that one promise. And hold fast. Somebody say, hold fast. That just simply means do not let go. Somebody say, don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go. Listen to what James says. Faith worketh patience. So when you, you know, when you get thrown into that stuff, you start using your faith. You exercise it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So now I'm going to exercise what I've heard. Wait a minute. I ain't got to put up with this. Get out of here, devil, in Jesus' name. I have authority. I've got power. Because that's exactly what Jesus is trying to get across to them on that boat. Why are you so fear-filled? I said, let's go to the other side. And what was in him simply came out, and there was a great calm. And they're sitting there with their mouths gaped open, looking at him, and they said, we never seen nothing like this in our entire life. And Jesus said, phew. How long am I going to have to put up with you? You guys are supposed to do the same thing. Quit going, he walked on water. Quit saying, he rebuked the winds and the waves. He cast out the devils of the madman of Gadara. He did all. He's saying, I'm training you to do this. What I'm doing is teaching you how to do it. What you see me do, you do. Amen. Where you go, I'll go. What you say, I'll say. What you pray, I pray. Somebody say, I'm going to do what I see him do. Amen. I'm going to say what I hear him say. Our trouble is we're saying what we hear the devil say.
There you go.
Amen.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is what James says. He said, everybody say, but. It's working patience, the quality that does not surrender patience. It's working that quality in you that'll never surrender, that'll never give up, that's always going to be loyal to faith, even in the greatest of trials. And this is what James says, but let patience. But let. Everybody say, but let. So what does that mean, but let? Don't look at me like that. I'll come out there. That means you have to do it. We're thinking he's going to. This is amazing to me. I'm talking about just morons. That's what Jesus called him. I guess I can say moron. You think God is going to do it? God's saying you do it. I've done what I'm supposed to do, and I've given you the authority to do what I said to do. Huh? But let. Somebody say but let. All we got's the butt. And we need to get off the butt and do some let.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But let patience. I like this. Let faith move. How is faith going to move? By my words. Because if I move over to Mark chapter number 11, he's waiting on me to use what? The measure of the faith of God that God gave me, because Jesus says what? Have the faith of God. I say, what did I do with that measure of faith that he gave me? Where is that at? Oh, God, I left it at home somewhere. I got it somewhere. Amen. Have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. How many have ever went somewhere in a restaurant or you went to a store and you had all this stuff and you reached back and said, oh my God, I hadn't got my bill full. How many has ever done that? Thank God I keep money in my car. Amen. Amen. That's the way it is with faith lots of times. What did I do with my faith? That's what Jesus asked them. What did you do with it? I know I got it here somewhere, Peter's saying, doubting Thomas. I knew good well. I doubted. I knew it. When we come out here, we're going to make it. I doubted very seriously if we'd reach the other side. Lord, have mercy. But let. Somebody say, but let. But let. But let. And see, the thing about it is when God gives us the opportunity to begin to exercise our faith, we want to quit. Because we live in the flesh so much, and we're used to getting stuff by the flesh and the way of the flesh, that when we try to exercise faith, it hurts. Because we got a microwave mentality. I can go to the bank. I can borrow this money. I can get this from that. I can borrow from Peter to give to Paul. I can all this kind of stuff. Amen. Instead of faith bringing it to you. Somebody say, faith brings it to me. Hope. I'm hoping. Hope, I can see it. Somebody say, I can see it. I'm hoping in my imagination, in my hope, I see it. It's drawing it to me. It's coming my way. Somebody say, coming my way. And see, what hinders that stuff? It's called the works of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Say, I owe. It's off to work I go. I'm servant to the lender. Amen. I want you to think now, just because we do not want to wait or pray to God. For God to, God, is this your will? Do you want me to do this? Et cetera, et cetera. I think I was telling somebody, that I mentioned this last week. I can't remember. You know, when the first Lexus that we bought some years ago, that I was going down to the car sale to the auction in Greensboro with a guy who owned a dealership. And I was going to, buy my car, because that's where I bought my cars at the auctions. And so I remember driving a Lexus down there for him. And I was just, God, my. Oh, and I was praising and worshiping God and going down there. And all of a sudden it just rolled out and buy this one. Buy this car. Buy this one. Because I was praying and said, Lord, you help me to find the right car. Just praying, having a good time, man, listening to gospel music, riding down the road, praying in the Holy Ghost, and just buy this one. So I called him on the phone right down there. I said, look, I'm buying this car, I'm driving. How much you want for it? So he told me what he wanted. I said, okay, I'm parking outside, and said, but we'll go inside to the auction. Said, but I'm buying this one. Hallelujah. Man, that was a good car. Hallelujah. Isn't it nice when God says, do it? He says, let patience. Remember I told you last week you ought to buy a cat and name it patience. Buy a dog and name it patience. Call your car patience so you'll be reminded. Let patience. Let it have a perfect work. Amen. So come here, patience. Somebody probably thinking, no, I'm going to name my men M patience because it wants to eat all the time. That's the way Artie is in the mornings. He's right up early, bright and early, wanting you to get up and go feed him first. I'm saying, you selfish, self-centered little thing, you. Begging me, punching me, scratching me. That's the way we do God. Amen. I guess I'm God to him. Somebody said, let patience. Let patience. Say, let patience. Amen. So according to James chapter 1, we're getting ready to close here. Whatever is surrounding you is your opportunity to operate in faith. Huh? By faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the Word of God. So you're framing a world by your words. By faith, we understand. By faith, I understand that the worlds are framed by the Word of God. You're framing something. So what do you mean? All right, for instance, and I'm closing with this. You know, when we were going to build this building, I framed it in my imagination. I knew what I wanted. And so I saw it. Then I drove to Florida and looked at one. Matter of fact, to Benny Hinn's church. Then we drove to Tennessee and looked at another one. It was a lot like this church, except it looked like a crown. And so I looked at that and I said, I know what I'm seeing. I wanted to make sure what I was seeing, you know, would it, if it could be done, how I wanted it. I knew exactly how I wanted it laid out. And so then I drew it on paper. Then put it on an easel. And then we broke ground. And then the money came in. And we're sitting in it right now.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. By faith, we understand. By faith, we understand. Have the faith of God. Have patience. Have the faith of God. You receive the promise by faith and patience. Have the faith of God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou plucked up and removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. For whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Amen. You got to see it first. See, this is what patience is all about. When you get thrown into that kind of stuff, what do you see? You see yourself surrounded by the enemy? Or do you see, oh, praise God, man, we're getting ready to have a showdown. And God's going to win, hands down. Because, devil, you're surrounded. My enemy is surrounded. Washington, D.C. is surrounded. California is surrounded. All the hoopla and the political stunts that are going on there, nothing more but lies. Lies, lies, lies. Amen. If you come back next week, it'll be the same old lies. Keep your eyes heavenward, pray for revival, and ask God's light to shine and expose every foul thing the devil is doing. And don't let anything be hid, Jesus. Let it all be made naked before us. Let us see it all. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me see here. I'm ready to close. Yes. I'm going to stop right there. Let's stand.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What do you see? What's before you? Amen. My God, I'd rather be a man of faith than try to manipulate my own life. I'm going to leave with this thought. Remember Saul in the Bible? And he was given commandment by Samuel, wait 7 days, and I'm going to come, we're going to offer sacrifice, then we're going to fight this battle. Remember Saul? He didn't wait, did he? He didn't wait, and the prophet commanded him. He said, wait, do not do anything until I get there. Saul took it in his own hands, and manipulated it because he thought the soldiers were going to leave. Well, God don't need anybody that's going to leave. God wants people that are going to stay and fight. Now listen. That cost him his kingship because he disobeyed a direct command from God Almighty. Samuel even mourned over it. And what did God say to him? He said, cut that mess out. He rebelled against me. See, it's important that we let patience have a perfect work, that we can be perfect, complete, and entire, wanting nothing. And if we get thrown into something and it's not we hadn't seen the answer manifest yet, that's okay. It will. It will. Somebody say, it's on the way. I hear it coming. I hear it coming. I like to do that sometimes. Say, oh, it's getting closer. I hear it getting louder. It's getting louder and louder and louder. Amen. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for patience. We thank you that patience will have its complete work and we'll be perfect, complete, and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, God. Lord, because you are making yourself a people of faith. Father, that can speak the word and move mountains. Father, that can believe. Father, for cities to be born again. Father God, that can believe for the strongholds of evil to be stricken and pulled down. Father, we see tonight that we are surrounded not by devils, but by angels. We're surrounded by the military forces of the heaven. Angelic warriors, your host, oh God. You are the captain of our salvation, Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight that you will, that hearts would be strengthened. And Father, that people would have a calm smile upon their face. Father God in heaven, Lord, as they begin to think about this message, Father God, Lord, that whatever the enemy's doing, that they'll just chuckle and laugh and say, devil, you're surrounded. This is coming to an end in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that tonight, God. We praise you for the victory that already is ours. And we speak it and believe it in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. And amen and amen. If you need prayer tonight, we'll pray for you before we go if there's anybody.